we made this the overthrow in Syria, where they're saying, oh my God, it's HTS. What do you think? This was what Obama tasked in 2011-12. Jihadists.
This situation and the concerning prospect of Syria's imminent collapse is a direct consequence of the absence of a strong and stable government in the capital and the deep-seated cultural and social disintegration within the nation.
That's the sphere that we would call a security zone for Israel. Now, cannot that all be accomplished? Not immediately, but from the Israeli standpoint, the key to success is the destruction of Iran, which in their minds is the single opponent left in the region that can put up resistance, because they think they can bully Saudi Arabia and the Emirates into doing whatever they want.
Syria has now become a country that has lost a large part of its conventional armed forces following Israeli assaults shortly after the fall of the previous government. Furthermore, country's vital port and shipping infrastructure has been extensively damaged, exacerbating the already dire situation for the populace in areas beyond the control of the Jolani administration, leading to widespread livelihood issues and severe lack of essential infrastructure. In other words, the Zionist regime's stated goals may not simply be the occupation of this vast land, but rather the domination and expansion of influence within this vast region. The combination of these issues and challenges is leading to Israel, perceived as a common enemy by the Syrian people and other Muslim nations in the region, embarking on a highly concerning occupation plan and laying the groundwork for its implementation.
They had their patches, ISIS and Al-Qaeda patches, on their arms. They were chanting obscenely the name of God whilst they murder people in cold blood, many hundreds of them, maybe thousands of them. And yet, this massacre of the minorities in Syria over the last few days is virtually unreported on Western media, particularly in those countries that did the most to put these maniacs into power, to usher the black flags of ISIS and Al-Qaeda into Damascus. Their media, so tightly controlled, they're not even reporting a massacre of Christian people, of Alawi people, of Shia and Druze people, by their clients, by their agents, by the people they armed and funded.
The Davis Corridor stands out as one of Israel's significant tools and plans aimed at exerting a substantial influence on the geopolitical and political dynamics in the region, particularly within Syria. This plan, considering the unique identities and historical gaps of the countries in the region, with a particular focus on Syria, which is located on the borders of occupied Palestine, is expected to greatly influence Israel's geopolitical future and aims to capitalize on the opportunities arising from the Syrian crisis over the past 15 years.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم است.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
کتاب الله.
یوسف جلالی تهران.
روباشاوید گازا.
جروم هیوز بروسلز.
سعید پورزا لندن.
راشا سگلم استانبول.
سید امین عالمی کابل.
شاهان بات ایندین ادمنیسترد کشمیر.
راوند دی ورلد وذ ریپورترز.
Anger in the streets against the US and Israel. Protesters in Islamabad burned American and Israeli flags to record their outrage against the ongoing genocide of Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip and the US complicity in Israeli crimes.
The United States is hand in hand for the massacre and genocide, Israeli genocide in Gaza. United States has provided not only financial aid, but all the F-16s and all the weapons which are being used to exterminate Palestinians in Gaza.
Demonstrators held the U.S. and its European allies responsible for the killing of tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians by supplying weapons that fueled the bloodshed and for shielding Israel from international accountability.
America, which claims to be a champion of human rights, why does it turn a blind eye to Gaza? Men, women, and children are being slaughtered every day with U.S. weapons in the hands of Israel.
Protesters highlighted the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, where men, women, and children remain trapped under the siege with no access to food, medicine, or shelter.
Women are being killed by Israel, children are being killed by Israel, but no one is there to speak for them. We all know that Israel is international terrorist.
Israel ek ghasib riyasat hai.
Israel is an occupying regime and fomenting terrorism. It bombs schools, hospitals, and refugee camps. Any country that supports such brutality is supporting terrorism itself.
Many called for boycotting American and Israeli products, saying economic resistance was their way to support Palestine.
As Israeli attacks continue in Gaza, protests are spreading worldwide with calls for an end to the genocide and urgent aid for millions trapped under siege. Asif Azmi, Islamabad.
...2025 on its final day in Tehran, as Iran's largest trade fair for electronics, computers and e-commerce, the 28th edition of the exhibition has over the past 4 days hosted local and international companies, turning Tehran into a hub for digital dialogue and innovation.
This is our first participation at Elecomp. As a smart display manufacturer, we received strong interest in both home and automotive devices. We look forward to returning to Iran and are already planning marketing and customer follow-ups.
Our team is proud to take part in Elecomp for the first time.
We have come to Iran to showcase our products and services, aiming to meet the needs of this growing market.
Artificial intelligence has also taken center stage this year. From smart platforms to data solutions, many companies present their AI-driven products and services.
Our company, active in the IT industry, has recently focused on AI PC, with our latest product being an AI camera. At Elecomp, we also met Arab companies, and discussions began on future collaborations.
For participants, Elecomp is more than an exhibition. It's a space to introduce new products, connect with international investors, and exchange experiences within the wider tech community.
At Elecomp, we showcase our latest data center products, including power panels and monitoring systems. The exhibition was a valuable chance to exchange ideas, meet new customers, and connect with both local and international companies, connections we look forward to developing future.
We offer gaming accessories, and our main audience is Gen Z and those active in the gaming community. We welcomed visitors from different countries, and after the exhibition we hope to expand our connections and exchange more experiences.
Elecomp 2025 has underscored the momentum of Iran's digital sector, setting the stage for new collaborations and innovation in the tech industry.
Elecomp 2025 in Tehran brought together inventors, startups, and innovators, highlighting Iran's expanding tech market and its growing role in the global digital economy. Farzan Anshoryan, Tehran.
In the courtyards of Tehran's Glass Garden Museum, stories of courage and endurance echo once more. The Generation of Resistance ceremony has brought together families of political prisoners martyred before the revolution, many of whom endured torture, exile, and loss, yet upheld the vision of an independent Islamic Republic.
After being tortured many times by the Pahlavi regime, my husband was sentenced to death by firing squad. They didn't even give us his body to bury, and to this day, we still don't know where he is. That's how fearful they were of the ideas and beliefs held by him and his fellow prisoners. I was also arrested with him for our activities against the regime. It's important for future generations to know our independence did not come easily.
Attendees heard tributes from officials honoring martyrs' contributions across decades, from resisting Pahlavi oppression to defending Iran in the imposed 8-year war.
My late husband endured brutal torture, to the point they had to take him to hospital. He fell into a coma from the intense abuse and was left paralyzed, but he never gave in to the pressure. He was a brave man, and I am proud of him.
I was one of the founders of the Students' Islamic Association in Stockholm. When I realized I should return to help the political movement for an Islamic Republic, I was sentenced to 12 years in prison for my activism. The younger generation must know the Islamic Republic did not come easily, and we must protect it.
The ceremony also unveiled a memorial dedicated to 66 martyrs, political prisoners who perished under torture, in targeted assassinations, or on the front lines of the Holy Defense.
The resistance of our martyrs is the reason we have independence and freedom today. Their stories of sacrifice should be taught in school textbooks, so children grow up knowing what was given for their future.
For the mothers, sisters, and former comrades who took part in the ceremony, this remembrance is more than history. It is a living pledge to continue the path of sacrifice.
Martyrdom is intertwined in Iranian culture, and this occasion has provided an opportunity to honor martyrs and the values they sacrificed their lives for. Tehran.
The Israeli military offensive dubbed Iron Wall, which began in the Jenin refugee camp, has now entered its 250th day. The regime forces have carried out repeated incursions, demolitions, and large-scale arrests ever since, leaving civilians to bear the brunt of the violence. Local and international organizations report that at least 100 Palestinians have been killed since the beginning of the campaign.
Life as a displaced person is incredibly hard. Every day feels empty and unfair. Nothing can balance the hardships we face. But my wife has been my strength throughout with her love, patience, and support. She even sacrificed her own possessions to help us survive and work together side by side. I don't know where I would be without her. She gives me hope, courage, and the will to keep moving forward. Our love is the only thing that makes life bearable in these times, and I'm endlessly grateful for her presence in my life.
Beyond the human toll, the scale of destruction is staggering. More than 5,220 homes and buildings have been demolished, including residential units, shops, and public infrastructure. The damage has forced thousands of families into an already dire humanitarian situation, with many unable to return to their neighborhoods.
I miss the normalcy of life, waking up to familiar sounds, the smell of fresh bread from the bakery, children playing in the streets. I miss my garden, my small courtyard, the evenings spent with family and neighbors. Here, there's nothing like that. Every day is the same, long, empty, and full of waiting. I dream that one day I can return home, even for a little while, just to feel the air there, walk in the streets, see my family's belongings.
I've been displaced since the very beginning of the invasion. My home is just a few meters away, but I can't reach it. I see it from a distance every day, and it's heartbreaking. Everything I built, all my memories are gone. Life has stopped. There's no work, no school for the children, nothing normal anymore. We live in fear and uncertainty. Every night is full of anxiety. It's like we don't exist, trapped between what was and what might be.
The continued displacement of around 50,000 Palestinians highlights the growing crisis. Families are scattered across temporary shelters, relatives' homes, and overcrowded facilities, with limited access to health care, clean water, and basic supplies. The humanitarian toll is deepening as the operation prolongs.
The West Bank continues to face severe devastation under Israel's Iron Wall operation. Communities are shattered, homes demolished, and thousands of families forced to flee as the humanitarian crisis deepens. Tiba Asi, Occupy Jenin.
Doctors for Palestine, bikers for Palestine, and people from all walks of life took to the streets of Germany in some of the largest demonstrations against Israeli genocide in Gaza since the Al-Aqsa flood operation in 2023. 20,000 people, some organizers say even 30,000, joined the protest march in Düsseldorf, which was organized by Arab and Muslim communities.
It didn't start on October 7. The genocide started in 1948. We will never stop to resist it. No matter what the police does here in Germany, we will never stop supporting Palestine until it's free.
The demonstration was spearheaded by a group of over 50 activists on motorbikes from the group Bikers for Palestine. Speakers from various pro-Palestine campaign groups addressed the protest.
We lit the torch of freedom with Gaza. Following the freedom of Palestine, we will carry it further to wherever oppression exists. In Sudan, Yemen, Congo, everywhere where people are fighting for freedom, and also here in Germany.
Speakers criticized the ongoing German support for Israel, including the continued arms trade and the signing of a new trade agreement on Friday, as well as the repression of Palestine solidarity activism in the country.
Because my whole heart, my whole brain, my whole being, as my whole existence is for Palestine, and we really have to free this beautiful country, this beautiful people, and we have to stop this genocide.
Speakers and participants also expressed their support for Lebanon, Yemen, and Iran against the Israeli aggression.
I'm here to make a statement for Palestine, but also for Lebanon. A year ago, much Lebanese blood was shed. Lebanon lost a precious treasure on September 27th with the assassination of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah and the brutal pager attack. They accepted everything and supported Palestine. When we say free Palestine, we also mean Lebanon, Yemen and Iran.
It is a tsunami of fascism and hatred sweeping across Gaza, and it didn't stop in Germany. The repression and oppression frighten me. The long-prepared hatred of Muslims in Germany frightens me. Zionism will fall because we are fighting it and we're millions.
Two separate demonstrations were also held in the capital Berlin, which attracted up to 100,000 participants. At a smaller protest in Berlin, several arrests were made.
Tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people marched in solidarity with Palestine across Germany this weekend. Pressure is mounting on Friedrich Merz and his government to recognize the state of Palestine. Another mass demonstration against the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza and the wars in Eastern Europe will be held in Berlin on Friday. Dieter Reinisch, Düsseldorf.
Addressing crowds of tens of thousands of Hezbollah supporters in the Lebanese capital, Beirut, as well in the cities of Baalbek and Tyre, Sheikh Naim Qassem, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, stressed that the Israeli regime failed in achieving its goals in last year's war, while the resistance remained intact.
Israel, with the unconditional support of the U.S. and Europe, aimed to annihilate the resistance to impose greater Israel on the region. However, the enemy failed to break Hezbollah, not through assassinations, not through warfare, and not through politics.
Sheikh Qassem underlined the duty of the Lebanese government to put a stop to all the Israeli violations since the declaration of a ceasefire, while also uncovering that the resistance has recuperated. The people of the resistance, he stressed, are unwavering. This was reflected in the words of the people who attended the commemoration.
We lost our leader, Sayed Hassan, and that's a wound in our heart, but this has given us more determination and strength. If the resistance ended with the martyrdom of Sayed Hassan, then faith would have ended with Karbala. We are stronger than they think.
The resistance is our heart and soul. We can never forsake it until the day we die. God willing, we will retaliate for the assassination of Sayed Hassan and all the martyrs who left us.
I accepted my only son as martyr for the sake of this just cause. Every time a martyr falls, this makes us stronger and is in itself a victory. We are not concerned with what our enemies say. We will stay on Sayed Hassan's path.
High-ranking officials from various countries, including Iran, attended the martyrdom anniversary of Sayyid Nasrallah and Sayyid Hashem Safiyyuddin, despite Israeli and U.S. threats. Israel had launched a full-scale aggression on Lebanon in September of 2024. On September 27th, it launched over 80 tons of bunker buster missiles, annihilating an entire neighborhood to assassinate Sayyid Nasrallah and accompanying resistance commanders. Israeli assassinations of individuals continue today, even within civilian grounds.
1 year on, Hezbollah seems to have transformed the martyrdom anniversary of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah and Sayyid Hashem Safiyyuddin, along with a line of resistance commanders, into a new phase of mobilization. Apart from the military, the popular support is unprecedented. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The earth and the heavens begin to sing. The angels celebrate the birth of a king. A king who outshines the stars of the night. A beacon of hope, you guide us with your light.
Blessings of God upon you is my prayer. The earth and the heavens begin to sing. This day we celebrate the birth of a king.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين.
In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all worlds. O Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad and hasten their reappearance. Greetings and salutations to the great nation of Iran, which has always safeguarded the integrity and independence of the country through their presence in various arenas. Peace and blessings of God be upon the martyr commanders of the IRGC, upon the unknown martyrs, and upon the martyrs of the intelligence community and the Ministry of Intelligence. Greetings and divine blessings to the Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, who has successfully led the resistance against the camp of infidelity, oppression, and the dominance of the American Zionist agenda. The main enemy of this land, this nation, and this faith is not only the criminal gang ruling over occupied Palestine, but also a Zionist American movement that, in addition to us, is an enemy of many countries and nations, an enemy of truth, justice, and humanity. This time, the Western Dominance Club, in a fatal miscalculation, unleashed its rabid dog to attack our proud and powerful Iran. Thanks to the unity of the people, the strong and resolute defense by the armed forces of the Islamic Republic, the heroic sacrifices of the defenders of the homeland, the wise and courageous leadership of the Commander-in-Chief of Armed Forces, and the active presence of the esteemed President and the 14th Administration, the world witnessed the defeat and humiliation of the illegitimate offspring of Western dominance, and they rejoiced. Today, I intend to discuss another aspect of the American Zionist regime's disgrace, its intelligence failure. In a statement dated June 9th, the Ministry of Intelligence announced the acquisition of a treasure trove of information from the hidden vaults of the Zionist regime and its transfer to Iran. The reality is that the anonymous soldiers of Imam Zaman infiltrated deep into the hidden chambers of the Zionist regime through one of the most complex, multi-layered intelligence operations and accessed its secret information in various fields, including nuclear, military, intelligence, and scientific domains. Today, I will only touch upon a portion of this information.
The story begins here, a film that reveals how millions of documents containing military and nuclear information, along with data from significant research projects and sensitive centers of the occupying regime, were smuggled out of the occupied territories, from the most secure nuclear sites and heavily guarded military facilities to designated safe locations, and then out of the occupied lands heading towards Tehran. Over the years, Iran's intelligence agency has recruited a network of operatives working deep within the military and security layers of the regime. Key figures within the regime are collaborating with the Islamic Republic of Iran, as they too have recognized Netanyahu's incompetence in safeguarding their own regime. This is part of the efforts of the anonymous soldiers of Imam Zaman in the Ministry of Intelligence, engaged in a round-the-clock battle for security and peace in Iran, and now even for the security and peace of the region and the world. The news of the mass exodus of highly classified documents that exposed the entire military and security networks surrounding the Zionists' nuclear weapons program detonated like a bomb in the corridors of power in Israeli regime. They were acutely aware of the blow they had received. Updated information that made visible the layered networks of individuals and projects involved in the construction and development of nuclear bombs within the Israeli regime. It also included all personal and professional details of those individuals and their connections with other countries. Includes extensive documents detailing the support from the U.S. regime and some European nations for the Zionist nuclear weapons program, as well as confidential agreements between the regime and several other countries regarding nuclear bomb development. Additionally, the regime's lobbying efforts to prevent other nations from accessing even peaceful energy sources, along with leaked correspondence from Iran to certain international organizations, to the regime's security agencies. And finally, the extensive collaboration between American technology companies and government entities with the Israeli regime for the construction and development of nuclear bombs and related knowledge. The subsequent operation, which was exceedingly complex and even larger in scale, involved data processing and transforming it into a network of interconnected and intertwined data, which, through the tireless efforts of analysts and experts from the Ministry of Intelligence, has now become a tangled web, a spider's web that is a vision of the terrifying threat of the occupying regime of Al-Quds against humanity. Due to the sensitive nature of this data, only a portion of it is disclosed. This extensive data network not only reveals the historical context of the regime's nuclear weapons program and all the individuals and entities involved, but is also highly effective for studying future developments. It is a live data network that allows for the prediction of subsequent changes, even if the personnel shifts. This operation was successfully carried out while the main operational and support agents completed their tasks safely and without interference from enemy services. Even if a few of the individuals involved in the operation have been identified, these individuals and cells remain unaware of each other, and the regime security apparatus has yet to find a way to uncover other cells. At this moment, the regime's military and security structure, under the incompetent management of Netanyahu, has turned into a body infected with a virus that should brace for a worsening situation.
The professional and intelligent execution of the infiltration project, which involved obtaining classified documents from the Zionist regime, successfully transferring these documents to pre-established bases, was merely one aspect of a powerful combination of operational intelligence actions. Although the treasure transferred into the country consists of millions of pages of various and diverse information regarding the Zionist regime, including past and ongoing military projects of the criminal regime ruling over the occupied territories, projects for the refurbishment and recovery of old nuclear weapons, joint projects with the United States and some European countries, the entire administrative structure and personnel involved in nuclear weapons, as well as researchers, scholars, and senior managers of these inhumane projects, the names of researchers and so-called scientists from America and Europe involved in the mentioned projects, and the addresses of facilities, companies, and all collaborators of these projects. The next very important and complex mission for the unknown soldiers of Imam Zaman is to process the information and uncover the relationships between various human and organizational elements and networks related to the regime's nuclear projects, both inside and outside the occupied territories. Discovering the relationship between elements and networks is as crucial as the infiltration project and the transfer of information into the country.
A vast amount of data has been transferred from the occupied territories to Tehran, now forming a complex web of processed information, a galaxy of names, addresses, internal and external relations, documents, projects, and even photographs are interconnected. This intricate network is the result of months of work by analysts at the Ministry of Intelligence, clearly indicating that the regime's nuclear program is intertwined with its armament initiatives. Just a small unit from a tiny cluster can provide a glimpse into the dimensions of the operations of the Islamic Republic's Ministry of Intelligence within the occupied territories. Oleg Rivin works at the Negev nuclear facility, one of the seven main bases of the regime's nuclear armament program. Oleg Rivin is a neutron specialist, a mineral chemistry scientist, and has expertise in working with microscopic laser materials. This image depicts the neutron program in which Oleg Rivin specialized. He is involved in a joint project, a collaboration between the Negev nuclear base in the occupied territory and the Los Alamos National Laboratory in the United States. The name of the Los Alamos Laboratory is linked to the history of atomic bomb production. The first nuclear bombs of the United States, which led to the massacre of the people of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, were produced at Los Alamos. The collaboration program between Oleg Rivin and Los Alamos is conducted under the auspices of a company called Rotem Industries. Rotem can be likened to Los Alamos in the occupied territories, focusing on the production of specialized military components and radiation detection. This shipping document indicates that Rotem has sent a shipment to the Los Alamos Atomic Laboratory in the United States. The shipment contains samples of chemical materials related to the nuclear weapons program of the occupying regime. The partnership between Los Alamos and the occupying regime includes a contract for the production and testing of bombs on a laboratory scale. These tests were initially conducted in African countries with the cooperation of the United States, but after this information was revealed by Russian and Chinese satellites, the tests were moved to the United States to be concealed under the guise of U.S. nuclear tests. These names represent the specifications and faces of the Zionist delegation that was established in Los Alamos in 2018 to advance these joint projects. One of Oleg Rivin's professors, Ilad Kaspi, is directly in contact with Los Alamos, and Rotem Industries is effectively under his supervision. Ilad Kaspi's role in the field of nuclear weapons is quite significant. His work focuses on measuring the quantity and arrangement of materials in the warheads of modern atomic bombs to achieve maximum explosive yield. In another part of this data galaxy, we encounter Ayel Yaho, a senior manager at the Negev Nuclear Research Center, who works on neutron shaping and the analysis of atomic and semiconductor radiation. He is also a key figure in the connection between the production of nuclear weapons in the United States and the Israeli regime. The American National Energy Laboratory in Livermore, California, and the Los Alamos National Laboratory are centers collaborating with Yaho. However, Yonathan Albez, born in March 1977, is the head of the Advanced Research Division of the regime's Atomic Energy Organization, focusing on nuclear radiation analysis and the control and optimization of nuclear weapon quality. Both Yahil and Albez are connected to Elazar Sarid, whose expertise lies in modern atomic bombs. One of his key specialties is increasing the plasma density of atomic bombs during nuclear fusion reactions and developing the infrastructure for testing nuclear weapon quality. Ron Ashkenazi, born in 1974, is another collaborator of the regime involved in the production of weapons of mass destruction. This senior member of the regime's Atomic Energy Organization works with foundations like Wiseman, The Weizmann Foundation was one of the organizations involved in the production of weapons of mass destruction that was destroyed during missile attacks by the Islamic Republic of Iran. However, no one knew what Weizmann's primary role in weapon production was. Names and faces such as Oleg Rivan, Elad Kaspi, Ayo Yaho, Yonatan Albez, Elazar Sarid, and Ron Ashkenazi are just a part of the Zionist scientists active in the regime's nuclear weapons program, which is now in the hands of the Iranian Ministry of Intelligence for future measures.
As I mentioned at the beginning of this program, at this current stage, we have only revealed a small portion of the millions of pages of information obtained from the Zionist regime. First point, this small portion has turned the pages of the history of the regime's secrecy and its supporters, putting an end to the regime's policy of nuclear ambiguity. Second point, our findings include the full names, addresses, and professional relationships of 189 nuclear and military specialists associated with the regime, along with the projects each of them is working on. And this list is still being updated. Third point, within the acquired treasure trove, there is precise information regarding sensitive military and scientific locations with dual-use applications which were targeted during the 12-day war after their coordinates were handed over to the country's missile units. Fourth point, this small amount of disclosed information reveals the collaboration between the U.S. regime and some European countries with the criminal Zionist regime. Additionally, it uncovers documents regarding the influence of regime officials and American senators over the agency and their acquisition of information related to our country's peaceful nuclear program.
Although the U.S. regime is by far the largest supporter of the Zionist atomic bomb, its Atomic Commission also has various programs with Europeans. The regime and the European Union have established a joint commission for nuclear cooperation and are advancing thermal hydraulic reactor projects. France is the regime's largest partner in the European Union regarding atomic bomb production. There are documents detailing 160 joint projects between France and the regime, with four of these projects being particularly significant. Most notably, the SARAF project focuses on the production of accelerators and enrichment facilities at the Sarek Center. This information comes from the discoveries of the anonymous soldiers of Imam Zaman, including the network graph of missile information, propulsion, and drone technology of the occupying regime, which involves weapons for transferring atomic bombs. Unfortunately, some international organizations are also under the influence of the occupying regime. Some individuals involved in the regime's atomic weapons and weapons of mass destruction are collaborators with those organizations. One example is Yaniv Shapishnik. Born in October 1981, he is the head of the research department at the Negev Nuclear Research Center, which collaborates with an international organization in the field of reactors. However, he is actually an expert in numerical modeling of atomic bomb explosions, aiming to minimize the amount of uranium and plutonium required in the bomb explosion cycle. The presence of these forces, which serve the destruction of humanity, reflects the dire situation of those organizations as their collaborators. This entity takes a hostile stance against Iran's peaceful nuclear activities, while welcoming the creators of weapons of mass destruction among the Zionists as partners. Despite the agency's services to the regime, documents found revealed that the regime even spies on the head of the agency. Family and personal photos of the agency's head, which were among the documents leaked from the occupied territories, indicated that this regime was gathering information on the agency's head. The occupying regime knows no bounds and remains loyal to no one.
A significant number of employees from nuclear agencies, military institutions, and ordinary citizens of the Israeli regime collaborated with the Minister of Intelligence to obtain a wealth of documents and transfer them from the regime's intricate layers of protection to our beloved Iran. Two main motivations drove this collaboration. One was financial gain, meaning the receipt of money, and the other was a deep-seated hatred for the so-called corrupt criminal prime minister of the Zionist regime and a desire for revenge against him. Now I tell this vile killer that instead of thinking about solving Iran's water issues, he should focus on addressing the bread problems of many of his employees who have collaborated with us for monetary reasons and continue to do so right now. Additionally, I want to reveal the secret behind the Israel regime's efforts to instill influence among the Iranian people and officials. The secret lies in the historic defeat of the 12-day war and the deep infiltration of the unknown soldiers of Imam Zaman into the innermost protected layers of the regime. The myth of infiltration was created, and unfortunately, some individuals within the country promoted it. We have never denied the enemy's intelligence infiltration in certain weak individuals within our ranks. Among these traitors, one has been identified, tried, and executed, and it is important to express gratitude to the judiciary for their efforts. Currently, we're also working on other espionage cases, but the desperate attempts of the Zionist regime to conceal the significant infiltration of the Ministry of Intelligence in their strongholds, hideouts, and secured vaults continue. They are also engaged in deceptive operations, particularly in covering up the technological methods used to gather information from our country. God willing, in the future, as we continue to reveal the treasures of the acquired intelligence documents, we will address these issues. In the end, I humbly thank God with my limited words and bow respectfully before the Iranian nation, asking everyone to pray for and support the unknown soldiers of Imam Zaman. Peace be upon you and God's mercy and blessings.
Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
When the world is shaking, is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
Here we enlighten you with ayahs 261 and 262 from the Surah Baqarah, recited by Ali Parhiskar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Mathalu alladhina yunfiquna amwalahum